Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program. This is Trucking with Authority. I'm your host, Kenny Long. We are live. I'm actually coming to you live today from Asheville, North Carolina, where we're working from a mobile studio. And if we didn't have enough technical glitches when we were on our standard studio, you can just bet that it's just going to get better when we go live. So here we are live streaming. We should be streaming as well on LNJ Radio. You can, if you're driving and you're trying to just listen in and get a better signal, if you just listen to the LNJ Radio stream, you can find that also on TuneIn Radio. Search for LNJ. I'm also trying to get the Facebook live streaming up and running, but again, working with multiple tools here, it's not working as well as we had planned. So I don't even know if we're getting out on all these different channels. We're trying to make it so that this broadcast is accessible as possible to everybody that we can. We should be up and running here shortly on Facebook as well. But today, preparations and problem solving, handling the unexpected. As I said, I am calling in, streaming live today from Asheville, North Carolina. My home base is Altamont Springs, Florida, or Apopka, Florida. Obviously, I'm a long way from home right now, and that's because we've had quite an adventure lately here with this hurricane passing through. And you know what? There's been so much going on across the country that I thought it was appropriate to discuss this, because I have seen a lot of people doing a lot of things that may or may not be smart. And we've got, I'm having some technical audio glitches here because we've got people playing with cords and things, so I'm not sure what's going on here. But if you have any questions or comments today, go ahead and press number one on your keypad. Press number one, that will bring you into the green room. We're probably not going to have a call screener today. We don't have anybody that has a password that can log into the system. Yeah?
I'm logged in already, yeah.
Oh, okay. We will have somebody here screening calls shortly, but go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. That will get your call screening into the green room. Again, if you're driving and you just want to hear the broadcast, the best way to do that would be to listen to LNJ Radio. You can check us out at Live365 or LNJRadio.com, or you can download the TuneIn app and find the LNJ station on the TuneIn app. So we're trying to get out as many possible ways to get this information out as we can. We'd like to be recording as well, but we're still working on all the opportunities and options here, so it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get Facebook streaming up and running.
You're welcome.
Certainly not in time for the show. So, again, we have quite a few callers on. All of you are finding us through Facebook. Thank you for following us. Thank you for checking in. Thanks for calling. If you have any questions or comments today, press number one. And this is the fourth week in a row that we've had technical glitches. And at this point, I'm going to go back to basics if we can't get it working this time. I'm just going to go back to the way we used to do it. If we can't get everything streaming the way it's supposed to work, we're using a lot of different software programs and things that we didn't use before, and they don't seem to work together there yet. So we're supposed to have options for sound and music and all kinds of things, and none of those programs like to work. We had it up and running a few days ago, tested it all out, but it doesn't want to work today. So it is what it is. I'm supposed to be playing commercials and things. Doesn't look like I'll be able to do that. I'm going to have words with the people over at LNJ Radio and figure out why we had such radio systems. There's got to be a better way to do this. That being said, let's get to the content today. Preparations and problem solving, handling the unexpected. That's the topic tonight. Press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments. Over the past month, we have had hurricanes, three hurricanes all at the same time, happening all at once out there. We had one in the Gulf that was making landfall in Mexico. At the same time, we had one making landfall in the Caribbean islands. At the same time, we had another one that was churning, and we're keeping an eye on out in the Atlantic Ocean. All of them were Category 4s at the same time, which is unprecedented. It's very rare that you have more than one hurricane going on at the same time, let alone three. So we had that all happening, and that was really within just 1 week time frame. A week before that, we had, of course, the eclipse happening, which wasn't necessarily an emergency, but it definitely caused some traffic disruptions across the country. We also have fires up in the northwest, Pacific Northwest. We have major forest fires in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Utah. And those fires are causing all kinds of traffic delays. We have people evacuating. And it's just, again, all of this stuff is happening in the time frame, really all of it compounded in 1 week. And so the eclipse in there, and we're looking at over the course of a month, it's unheard of to have all these different natural events happening. Add into that the man-made events that are happening with regulations, with the rates and lanes that the way things are changing. Of course, all these different natural occurrences compounded with the man-made occurrences are just making things that much worse. Add all that together, and we just have, no pun intended, the perfect storm. So, and you know, the other thing I didn't even mention was out in Mexico, our neighbors to the south, we had an earthquake happening. So, and they had some major catastrophes down there. So, you know, our entire continent right now is just ablaze and under evacuation orders across the gamut of everything that's happening. It's unbelievable. That's got to be turned sideways. It can't be up and down. Yeah. So.
Keep going.
While I've got everything happening here, I know I'm supposed to be playing commercials, and again, I have access to music and all kinds of things, but it may or may not be possible. But we'll try and go ahead and see if we can play a commercial here and get this out of the way while we can. Maybe. Okay, well, I guess that can't happen. So. Okay, no commercials. Which is really unfortunate. We're really supposed to be doing all this stuff here to make it work the way it's supposed to. So, callers are dropping like flies because of technical glitches. I don't even know if you're hearing me on their line.
They are.
We are.
Yeah, I've seen a couple messages.
I'm sure
people can hear you.
People can hear me. Okay. Well, we usually have about 10 times more callers on the line, so obviously the technical glitches are turning people away from the show. It's really disappointing. Again, if I can't get this stuff working here right away, I am not going to be doing all this stuff again. This is, if I can't get the content out because of technical glitches, there's no sense in even trying to do all this stuff. So I'll be making, yeah, you can't do that. So I'll be making some changes here. I like the option of being on LNJ Radio, but if we can't get this stuff to work properly, I'm not getting out anywhere, so it's ruining the whole experience. I'll be making some changes here real soon.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to make things work. Looks like we are live finally on Facebook. We're
that's on your profile. Is that okay?
Yeah, except we're looking at the table here. Are you ready to aim that?
Sure. Tell me when.
Yeah, it's not working. And I you can't rotate it while we're live, so it's got to be sideways.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. And I'm sorry about this. I didn't have a lot of time to set everything up. And we're losing more colors. I'm really disappointed. I'm pretty upset about things. Yeah, I'm sideways, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
I think I'm sideways.
Ask if you're sideways.
Am I sideways? Can anybody on Facebook see me? Because I certainly can't read the stuff here. It looks like I'm sideways. Definitely sideways.
Okay. I'll just stop this one and restart it.
You guys have no idea how upset I am about this stuff not working. I'm livid right now. This stuff doesn't work the way I want it to. It's ruining everything that I've got set up and everything I've built here, and I'm really upset about it. To the point that I'm ready to just, like, throw in a towel until they can get this stuff right. So, but I'm going to keep pushing forward. I got to obviously spend some time, and I'm going to have to figure out a way to make this work properly.
So it's up and down like this?
It has to be sideways.
Okay, then how do I make you not sideways?
I'll be correct if that's on sideways. You got to be started that way.
Okay.
There you go.
I did. I pressed the button that stopped.
No.
Okay, so you want to hit live when you're ready?
You got it upside down.
Huh?
That's the problem. This has to be down there.
Okay. like this?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Camera's down lower. That's what.
Right.
Okay.
That's the way it works.
I've never done Facebook Live.
Obviously. Yeah, that's working out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm waiting for some questions here. Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and let's get some content going. We need to get something to talk about. Go ahead and press 1. There we go. There we go. Now we're streaming live, maybe. Now we're live video. Now we've got it. Now we're up and running. The lighting's not good, but you know what? We'll take what we can get. Streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on LG Radio. We're streaming live on Dad Tech Radio. Now all we gotta do is do that all back together. Now we gotta get it all the way up at the same time we were supposed to. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's just start the show right now. Welcome to Trucking with Authority. Preparations and problem solving, handling the unexpected, hurricanes, fires, earthquakes across the continent right now. We have evacuation orders. We have crazy stuff happening. How do you be ready? How do you face the Mother Nature's wrath? How do we make all this stuff happen? If you're streaming live on Facebook, if you want to call in, obviously I'm working mobile. You can see my RV behind me here, but if you want to call in, the call-in number is 917-889-9924. TuneIn Radio is working great. That's what I wanted to hear. 917-889-9924. 917-889-9924. Press 1 on your keypad, and we can get the questions on. I'm going to read that number a couple of more times here. 917-889-9924. Live calling in radio show. We're finally up and running. We're a little bit late. But you know what? That's live radio for you. We should be streaming on all avenues here. Got Facebook Live up and running. Hopefully that camera is teetering here a little bit. Hopefully that stays good. Also on Blog Talk Radio, so give us a call. 917-889-9924. And we're also on TuneIn Radio, LNJ Radio. I am going to be doing this show, and I'm going to get all these bugs worked out of here one way or the other. Go ahead and tune in. The app is called TuneIn Radio. Search for LNJ Radio. That's Liberty and Justice Radio. I think this is the first time. Granted, we've got some bugs to work out here, but I think this is the first time that I've been streaming everywhere at once. It took us a while to get it all up and running, and it's not perfect yet, but at least it's working. So, I want to tell you how this show is going to work in the future. I will get this working properly, I promise you. I will get the live stream up and running. I will get all of these things synced. I'm going to get the music stuff, the kinks worked out of this. I don't know why these programs are... In order to broadcast on all these different streams, it takes 4 different programs running all at the same time, and they don't seem to sync together very well. You have to open in a certain combination or something. I was able to do everything live a couple of days ago. Everything worked. Thought everything would be up and running. But, hey, this is live radio. We're going to make it work today as best we can. Stream live on Facebook, Trucking with Authority. It's actually on my personal profile right now, I believe, but we're going to get that shared everywhere. Call-in number if you want any questions. Obviously, the only thing I've got going on is I've got to take the questions from the phone lines first. Call-in number is 917-889-9924. I'm sitting outside today in Asheville, North Carolina. It's a beautiful time to be in the mountains. A little gloomy. The remnants of Irma past couple of days. A little gloomy, but it's beautiful weather. Got my jacket on, which is fantastic. I love this weather. We evacuated for Hurricane Irma, mainly because I'm running a fleet of trucks, and I cannot be without power and internet because other people depend on me. the power is out at my office. The power is out at home. So just as well be out on the road, enjoying the better weather, and making things happen, running the business. So but that's what I want to talk about today, preparations and problem solving, handling the unexpected. Obviously, this hurricane was, we had a week's notice, but the way that this storm came in was, there has not been a storm like this since Hurricane Donna, which was almost 60 years ago. This storm had the potential to destroy the entire state of Florida.
You're a little bit muffled on the phone call.
A little muffled on the phone call, she says. Let's see if that works. Is that any better? Let's see if that works. That should clean things up a little bit.
I think that's a little bit better. Maybe
that's
a
better?
Little more of that.
All right. We should be good now. Might be a little hot everywhere else, but I think we should be good. Are we good?
Okay.
All right.
It'll work.
It better work. I promise we're going to get the beds worked out of this thing. Now, on top of the hurricane, obviously, at the same time, we had Hurricane Harvey just a few weeks ago. We had Hurricane Irma hit Florida this week. We have fires in the Pacific Northwest. We have all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Earthquake hit in Mexico. A few weeks ago, we had the eclipse, which wasn't really a natural disaster of any sorts, but it definitely caused some traffic delays and traffic issues across the country. So you have to be prepared for these types of things. You have to be ready. The other thing is it's extremely important that if you see one of these disaster areas, that not only are you prepared for it, but if you don't have to be there, absolutely stay away. Absolutely. If you go into one of these areas, you just become a victim. I have a bit of a spat on Facebook. Everybody seems to disagree with me. But I can tell you that this hurricane originally was predicted to make landfall, and it did make landfall as Category 4 over the Keys, which means it was up to 150-mile-an-hour winds. It made landfall at Marco Island near Naples, Florida, which is in southwest Florida, as a Category 3, which is 130-mile-an-hour winds. If you're in a tractor-trailer, if you're in a truck, 35-mile-an-hour winds on the broad side of a truck will flip the truck. It will flip a loaded truck. 35-mile-an-hour winds will hit you right on the broad side. 100-plus-mile-an-hour winds, that would just destroy the truck. If this hurricane came in as 150-mile-an-hour winds, as it did in South Florida in the Keys, that destroys everything. I was in Florida and saw firsthand a Category 4 hurricane in 2004. Hurricane Charlie came ashore in Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, Florida, right into Charlotte Harbor, literally destroyed everything. It took cars and threw them across the road and flipped them upside down. It took RVs and blew them across the street. I mean, it completely, there is no preparation for that. There is no reason to be there. There's no preparation for that. And it's absolutely dangerous to be there. Most of the places, almost the entire state of Florida, was under a mandatory evacuation order. Of course, all of the coastline was under a mandatory evacuation area. And almost all of the inland counties were under a mandatory evacuation area unless you were in a site-built home, meaning a block home capable of withstanding the winds. If you're in a mobile home, if you're in a truck or vehicle, you're in a mandatory evacuation area if you were anywhere south of pretty much I-10. Pretty much anywhere in Florida, you're in a dangerous area. And you absolutely should not be in a dangerous area. There are people that stay behind that live in Florida, and I completely understand that situation. I completely understand people that had family or had too many people they couldn't move or pets that they had to protect. Fortunately, this hurricane was dampened enough, came in southern, we made landfall in a southern enough area. Of course, if you're in the Marco Island, Naples area, I hope you did flee. But I absolutely know people that were in Lee County, which is Fort Myers area, that stayed, and it was dangerous. Power was out, trees were blown down, uprooted, trees that were 50 plus years old were completely blown away. Houses, actually here in Asheville, North Carolina, met somebody that was from Key West. Of course, the Keys took the rest of it. Grew up, she was 60 some years old and grew up in the Keys. The houses that she grew up in, now the Keys had experienced almost every hurricane that's come through, because they're so far south in the Gulf. Every hurricane that comes through and makes its way into the Gulf of Mexico crosses the Keys at some point. So the houses and the buildings down there were the most fortified, the strongest built homes, and the house that this woman grew up in over 50 years ago is gone now. Is destroyed. That's just the wind. Add to that the flooding. Now, storm surge is when the wind blows the water into the coastline. It blows the water up. On top of adding high tide, adding the rain, adding, you know, just the wind and everything on top of that. If you're on the coastline, storm surge is an issue. Now, fortunately, a lot of areas, the storm surge, I mean, they're predicting areas where it could have been as much as 15 feet high. Now, the average elevation in Florida, I believe, is only 15 feet. So if you're on the coastline, most of the county on the coastline is, it would be underwater. Now, my parents live in Punta Gorda, Florida, which is in Charlotte County. They're at the highest point in the county. The whole county, they're only 22 feet above sea level. That's the highest point in the county. So if you're looking at a 15-foot storm surge that came in, you can imagine that almost everybody in the area would be flooded. Now, we did get massive flooding in areas like Miami, Jacksonville, of course, where the storm made landfall in Naples. Fort Myers was flooded. Now, Jacksonville is quite a ways out of the path of this storm, still experienced major flooding. Now, I say all that to say this. If someone wants to come into that area to try to help, or try to be to a lone wolf and try to come into this area to help, there is more chance of them becoming a statistic, becoming a victim, than of helping. Thank you, Tom, for that. At least we've got some good news. We're sounding good on the radio. So we're looking good there. But if you've got minimal preparations, if you've got minimal equipment, and certainly if you're in a tractor trailer, there is absolutely no reason anybody should come into this area. And I'm saying that because a friend of mine did that, and I completely disagree with that. I think that was an absolute horrible, stupid, foolish idea. 17, I believe that was the last number I heard, 17 million people evacuated the state from all across the state. Traffic on I-95, on the Florida Turnpike, on I-75, and on almost every U.S. highway out of the state was jammed up for 4 days. Everybody that was capable tried to get out. Add to that, Miami, of course, was the first one. They thought that's where it would make landfall. Everybody was leaving. As this storm changed, it looked like it was going straight up the middle of the state. If this storm would have went up straight up the middle of the state, as they predicted it could have, made landfall as a 4, possibly then only up to a Category 2 by the time it got all the way to the Georgia line, it could have, I mean, destroyed almost every structure, every vehicle, everything in the state. I mean, it could have been extremely dangerous and massive damage everywhere. If you're living here in Florida, I mean, North Carolina, if you were living in Florida, it was a good idea to leave if you had the means. It was a good idea to try to get out of the path of this thing. You didn't know. Nobody knew. The weather, obviously, they predicted it would come in as Category 4 in Miami. It obviously went into Key West, made its way up the west coast of Florida. Obviously, the weather had no clue what this was really going to do. And I mentioned Hurricane Charlie. You know, that was supposed to go in, Tampa, maybe a Category 3. It strengthened to a Category 5, and downgraded to a category 4 in, like, you know, minutes before it made landfall in Charlotte County. A storm like that is just, there is no way to prepare for that. You cannot survive in that type of situation unless you are in a fortified block or earth concrete building. If you're on a tractor trailer, it's gone. As a matter of fact, there have been several deaths in the state of Florida. The first death is on the interstates. There was a car driving on the interstates. That was the first fatality due to the storm. Anybody driving into this storm on, I believe it made landfall Sunday afternoon, anybody that was driving into the storm on Sunday afternoon was absolutely foolish. That was not a good thing to do. There is no way that you can withstand 100 plus mile an hour winds, which is what it was predicted to do. Fortunately, it downgraded quickly as it got over land, but that is not what it was supposed to do. It could have been much, much worse. Now, the reason that I say that anybody that went in should not have gone in is because of this. I use a lot of military analogies. In the military, it's common practice. And I'm going into a whole bunch of reasons about the caliber of bullets that we use, the rules of engagement that we use, those kinds of things. But the basic gist of it is this. When you're in a firefight, when you're up against the enemy, you're not trying to kill somebody. You're simply trying to wound that person. You're trying to wound the enemy. The reason being, because if you wound the enemy, if you kill the enemy, you lose one person that you're fighting against. But if you wound one person, it takes at least one other person, or usually a team of other people, to look after that one person. So instead of, if you kill somebody, if you think that that would be the goal, but if you kill somebody, you take one person out of the fight. If you wound somebody, you take out that one person and two or three of his buddies to help. And it's the same scenario with somebody coming into a storm like this. If they're lucky, they make it. If they're not lucky, if the storm turns, flips their truck over, or debris blows into them, hurts them, trees fall on them. I saw pictures where shipping containers were knocked over on trucks. Houses were blown down, roofs were blown down, signs. The debris flying through the air is absolutely dangerous. And if somebody was hurt, not only is that person hurt, but then you have to bring first responders in to come help that person. You have to have medical personnel out there helping. So now you're putting their lives at risk too. That's why nobody should be there. Nobody should be there if they don't have to be. Now, I know for a fact that people that stayed in southern Georgia, as soon as the storm passed over, they were able to get out of Georgia and into places like Orlando, Ocala, even as far down south as Fort Myers, before noon on Monday. The storm passed over late Sunday afternoon, and before noon on Monday, if you stayed in Georgia, you know, at a safe distance away, there's plenty of time to get to those southern areas. It looks like the storm is still churning and seeing rain. Looks like in the Louisiana area. I'm here in Asheville, North Carolina. It's been rainy all day. It was raining yesterday. It was passing over here. Matter of fact, even as far north here as Asheville, North Carolina, up in the mountains, schools are closed. A lot of the stores, buildings, and things like stores and other businesses are closed today. So even as far north as North Carolina, they're feeling the major effects of this, and they're preparing for it. So that's my rant for today. If you're in one of these scenarios, stay out unless you absolutely have to be there or you don't have the means to get there, because you might make it through. You might get lucky. You might be able to help. But you also take the chance of becoming a statistic, taking the risk. Now, I was in the military. I'm all for helping. I'm all for being first on the scene, but not at the risk of putting yourself in jeopardy, not at the risk of becoming the helper that needs help, taking the resources, taking a first responder that has to come save you from your vehicle accident or your truck flipping over on the road when they could be in a neighborhood helping somebody family that didn't have the means to escape, didn't have the means to get out. Now, the other issue is nearly every gas station and truck stop from the Orlando line south has been closed.
I'm hearing we're overmodulated and there's a lot of backseat.
Okay. Well, let's see if that works. Clean this up a little bit.
I think it's a little bad.
Okay. Well, I'm doing my best.
Okay.
Doing what I can do. Why those back feet is overmodulated, I don't know. We're doing what we can do. If anybody has any questions or comments, anything you'd like to add to that, I would take the calls from the phone line first. Again, the number is 917-889-9924, 917-889-9924. Streaming live on Facebook. We're also streaming live on Blog Talk Radio and on TuneIn Radio at LNJ Radio. If you download the TuneIn Radio app, you can find us. Search for TuneIn Radio or go to lnjradio.com and scroll to the bottom and you can stream it live right from the website. If you would like to add any questions or comments, call the number 917-889-9924 and press number 1 on your keypad. I'll be taking the questions from the phone lines. Now, all right, so I went through my rant. Stay out unless you have to. It's not smart. It's actually foolish, stupid, to go into an area where 17 million people have evacuated. They're evacuated for a reason. There are people that couldn't evacuate. The people that are there that have the ability, the capabilities, the tools, the resources to stay safe themselves while they let it out, as well as the tools and resources to help people as soon as it's over. If they stay, I understand. But if there are people that don't have to be there, there's no reason to be there. Looks like we do have a question from the phone lines. I'm going to jump on this. It hasn't been screened yet, so I don't have the exact number here, but caller, do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Kenny. It's Christy. How are you?
Great, Christy. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm actually just wondering how the storms are affecting the truckers with the gas and stuff, having to pick up loads and dropping things off.
Okay, that's a great question. It's absolutely affecting everything from the Georgia line south. Every truck stop is they're opening up now. Yesterday when the trucks were trying to get back in, they were all closed. If you're a trucker and you're headed into Florida, you should probably keep your tanks topped off, keep them as full as possible. Anywhere you see a truck stop open, there's still a gas and diesel fuel shortage across the state. There's still power out across the state, so even if the fuel is there, they may not have the power to pump it. So it's absolutely affecting people. There are a lot of people trying to get home. My brother is actually, he left here in North Carolina yesterday, and he's trying to get home, and traffic is very backed up. Everybody's trying to get home. 17 million people decided that they need to go home now to see, assess the damage. And gas stations are closed, so he's worried that, you know, a truck might hold, you know, 300 gallons of fuel, 200 or 300 gallons. So they have a 1,000-mile range. So a trucker that can top off in the seven most Georgia truck stops as possible could get all the way to southern Florida and back out. But a car, four-wheeler, that may only have a 300 or 400-mile range on a full tank, yeah, if they're going to southern Florida, they're going to have to be pretty close to full, and they can't plan on getting out. And I'm seeing my friends in Alabama are saying it's a shortage across the southeast, so even in the Alabama area. And I know that's Mobile, Alabama, probably Montgomery, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia. I know that my driver that went in, there was a truck stop about 20 miles or so north of the Florida line. That was the last truck stop that he saw open. There are some truck stops right on the line that, let's see, there are some truck stops right on the line that were closed, either out of fuel. There were some other truck stops that had the fuel in Florida, but they didn't have any electricity to pump it. And I know there are some that have backup generators. One specifically, I know there's a Petrol in Redick, Florida. They were closed yesterday. They have backup generators, but they must have been out of fuel because they were closed down. And then, of course, you have a lot of people that evacuated, the employees of these places, that, you know, there's nobody there to run them, then, you know, they're probably just coming back now as well, and, you know, they won't be opened up. So it's difficult. Does that answer your question, Christy?
Yes, it sure does. I figured I'd ask since I'm not a trucker myself. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And it was good hearing from you. It's been a long time since I heard from you, Christy. So thank you very much. I'll go ahead and put you back on hold. If anybody else has any questions or comments, call in at 917-889-9924. Streaming live on Blog Talk Radio, LNJ Radio. You can find LNJ Radio streaming live. If you're in your truck, if you're listening live, if you're on the live Facebook stream, if you're just trying to listen to me, I recommend that you turn off the video. You shouldn't be watching videos while you're driving. Turn on LNJ Radio. You can find it at lnjradio.com or go to the TuneIn app, download the TuneIn app, and search for LNJ Radio. And so much for that working. Hopefully that stays a little while longer. But so if you're just listening to the live stream on Facebook, turn off the live stream there and turn on the stream on TuneIn Radio at LNJ Radio, LNJ Radio Channel, or lnjradio.com. And I know, Tom, you're listening. I am having issues with the software here. I cannot play the commercials that I'm supposed to play, so I'm reading it, and hopefully we can make up the difference here at the end. All right, so my rant about staying out of these areas is over. How do we prepare for them? First, bug out. That was the whole point of the first part of my rant here. Get out of the areas if you can. What do you have to do to get out? As Christy mentioned, the whole area, the entire southeast region, ran out of fuel, ran out of gasoline, ran out of diesel fuel, or the power was out, or the employees evacuated, you couldn't get fuel to get out. So it's extremely important when you see something like this approaching, when you see hurricanes approaching the area, or if you're in an area that could be affected somehow, always keep fuel on hand. If you're in an area where you may not be able to get out, you have to work on generator power. Make sure you have gasoline on hand well in advance. Make sure you have everything you need well in advance. Every store, right before this happened, you see it before snowstorms, you see it before hurricanes, before any kind of bad weather. Stores run out of bread, they run out of milk, they run out of bottled water. Make sure you have that stuff ahead of time. Bottled water will keep for months, years even. You can put a storage of bottled water well ahead of time. So you should always have a few cases of bottled water. Regulations on carrying gas cans on your truck going into Florida. I'm going to wing it on this. I know there are regulations, and I used to know the specifics. Mobile cans over 5 gallons are not allowed unless it's bolted to the truck. So a 5-gallon gas can should be okay as long as it's properly secured to the truck. But if it's over 5 gallons, it's not allowed. But it needs to be properly secured. Also, if you're hauling any type of hazmat at all, then you are not allowed to carry any flammable liquids such as gasoline or propane. If you have a propane grill or anything else with you on the truck, you're not allowed to have that if you're hauling hazmat. But right now, especially, I think most of the officers and things are turning a blind eye to those types of things, especially in Florida. Florida has waived, you know, I don't know how long this will last right now, but right now there are no hours of service regulations due to emergency relief in the state of Florida. I know there are 26 states in the southeast, all the way up through Tennessee and several others, because of Texas and Florida now, to get the relief and get the fuel into those areas for fuel tankers and some other specific commodity haulers. Hours of service regulations have been laid across, really, from the I-35 corridor east and from, let's say, the about the I-40 corridor south. All of those states pretty much, for the most part, have waived hours of service regulations for fuel haulers to get fuel and diesel and gasoline into these areas. So hours of service have been waived, and if you're hauling anything whatsoever in the state of Florida, specifically, I know that hours of service across the board have been waived temporarily. So if you have food, any commodity whatsoever right now, if you can get into the state of Florida, hours of service are waived. And Christy, thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, getting fuel in those areas right now, that is the biggest problem. Millions of people are trying to get home. The gas stations are clogged up. You know, truck stops are clogged up. Traffic is horrible. There's a lot of slow-going traffic out there. The worst thing you could do is just, you know, and I have a bad habit of this. I get my car down to where it's just bouncing on that red line of empty, and get out there in the traffic, and you'll see that the next truck stop or whatever it is 50 miles up there, and you're just bouncing on that red line. And, you know, you might be able to make it under normal conditions, but then you find yourself sitting in traffic for hours on end, and you run out of fuel. Absolutely, keep your tanks topped off. You know, in your truck, as I said, all the fuel stations, all the truck stops from the Florida-Georgia line south are just now starting to come back online here and there. So keep your tanks full. The furthest south you can absolutely get fuel is probably southern Georgia. Beyond that, it's going to be hit and miss until the employees get back and the fuel stations get resupplied and power comes back on. So keep your tanks topped off. A truck that's fully topped off from the Georgia line can probably make it all the way to Miami and back out again to find fuel. Otherwise, you may have a very difficult time at it. Relief efforts are underway. My Army military friends are hitting it strong. All the emergency responders, all of the electrical companies, I know Florida Power and Light brought in 30,000 contractors from other states to get the power back on. And I've been impressed. There's still a lot of areas, power's not back on where I live yet. But most of my neighbors and friends in the south and things, power's coming back on relatively quickly. I know there's power lines down in my shop, my yard where I park the trucks and trailers, some power lines down there. And we should get that all cleaned up here in the next few days. Trees are down everywhere. And I'm kind of rambling about this, but those are the questions I'm getting right now. If you're going into Florida, if you're going in for a load to deliver anything, make sure that your fuel tanks are topped off. And get in, get out, and keep your tanks topped off as best you can. Try not to idle and waste any fuel. And even if you can find a fuel station further south, don't buy it down south unless you absolutely have to, because there are trucks and civilians, we'll call them, in the south that may be in pickup trucks, cars, and so forth that need that fuel to get home. If you can keep, you know, allow them to get it first if you don't need it. So the trucks have a much longer range than the cars. So try to stay on top of that and help out. But being prepared as these storms approach, having all the supplies up front and ahead of time is absolutely imperative. And getting out if you have to is extremely smart. If you can't get out, find reinforced buildings. A lot of shelters were open. Shelters were pretty much packed full of people that just didn't have the means to escape this thing. And, of course, even if it looks like it's going to be a glancing blow, you know, originally this thing looked like it was coming into Miami. My family is on the West Coast. They evacuated when it was still looking like it was coming into Miami area. They are in Punta Gorda, which is on the west side of the state. They were well on their way out when it changed course. So as it changed course, they were already gone, which was smart on their part. But also, there's other things that hit you a lot faster. Fires. The Pacific Northwest right now. All the states, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Western Montana, Utah. There's fires everywhere. Stay on top of that. If you see those types of things in the area, you need to have your car packed, keep your gas tanks full, be ready to escape if you have to. These wildfires spread like wildfire. That's where that came from. No pun intended, but they spread fast. Be ready to get out if you have the means to get out. If you don't have the means to leave, you know, get out of the area altogether, be ready to evacuate to some other shelter. And then there's other things. Not every emergency is man-made or natural. Some are man-made. And some of them in our industry could just be regulations that are against us, or, you know, sometimes just a delivery gets turned upside down for some reason, the details, something goes wrong, something goes south. Be ready for that as well. So if you have a load that have to deliver quick, fast, and in a hurry, make sure that you have the capabilities to do that as well. And be astute of the rates and lanes. Pay attention, very close attention to what's happening with the weather and situations around the country, because if we were to take a load into Florida right now, and everybody knows the Florida market is bad year-round, but certainly right now, don't expect to get a load back out. If it was bad before, it's worse now. So be prepared for that as well with the loads that you're taking in and out. And loads across the country right now, even if you're in the Midwest taking loads that stay in the north and stay out of these disaster areas, they're affected as well. A lot of trucks, a lot of equipment has moved into these disaster areas. Rates are driving up across the country. Make sure you're on top of that as well. Looks like you did have another question that may have dropped off. If you have any questions or comments, taking the questions and comments from the phone lines first, 917-889-9924. If you're streaming live on Facebook or on LNJ Radio, call the number 917-889-9924. Press 1, and that will get you in the queue if you have any questions or comments. Now, I've said all that about the current situation that we've encountered over the past couple of weeks. Hurricanes, flooding, tornadoes are everywhere. And granted, tornadoes can pop up from just about any thunderstorm, and be prepared for that as well. But as we're coming into the end of September, we're also going to start looking at snow flying. There's already states, Colorado, for example, you are required currently to carry snow chains on your truck at all times, which means... And, Tim, yes, I do totally argue with the semi-truck. I get some goofy looks. Plenty of power to totally argue. Outgoing freight out of Florida, there really is no outgoing freight, other than there's some emergency supplies that come into Florida that maybe they need to relocate over to the Houston area and vice versa. And again, I'm reading the comments off of Facebook because they're popping up right in front of me. It's easy, but they're flipping by faster than I can read some of them. So it's easiest for me to take the calls on the radio. It's 917-889-9924. Call in, press 1 on the keypad, and we'd love to have you on. But as it comes through September, snow is going to start flying. You could be caught on a mountain pass from now until April in some type of a blizzard. The roads could be shut down. As we come into wintertime, I always avoid things like I-80 across Wyoming. You know, this time of year, it seems that it's shut down for high winds and everything else happening completely against everything becomes an emergency at that point. So I be prepared for all of these situations, roads being shut down. Carrying snow chains or auto socks is a good idea this time, even if you don't plan on using them. Somebody is asking an ELD exemption during an emergency. No, there is no ELD exemption. There are hours of service exemptions. There are a lot of hours of service exemptions as I went over Florida right now. There is no hours of service enforcement, and that may be for the next few days until things get back on their feet. I don't know the details, but I know currently the hours of service are suspended. And let's see. But if anybody has any questions or comments, 917-889-9924. I love the ability to stream everywhere and get all this information out. I'm on Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, the stream live on LNJ Radio, which you can also find on TuneIn Radio. So there's all types of places to find the podcast or the radio show today. But everybody asks me questions on Facebook. It makes it very difficult. Does not make for good radio, we'll put it that way. So I'm trying to read some of these as they go. So how do you log in on ELD if hours of service is exempt? Well, you log in, you put in the notes that is exempt. As a matter of fact, I use the Keep Trucking ELD, and there is a button for that. So the ELDs do have the capability to log exempt commodities, exempt out of the service. For example, if you're hauling an oversized load, you're exempt from the 30-minute break because parking can be a difficult situation, and you're also up against curfews. So you only have from dawn till dusk to haul those loads. So they waive the 30-minute break. So if you're doing an oversized load, there is an exemption. There is a button for that on the ELD. If you're on an ELD and you're in one of these areas, if the line turns red, it does not shut your truck off. If for some reason you go over the hours of service, if your line turns red on that device, just keep driving. The hours of service have not put you in violation. Although this little device might tell you you are. So just put in the notes that you are driving in an area where hours of service have been extended or suspended or so forth. I think it's funny that questions like that come up about ELDs. As if the ELD shuts the truck off if you go beyond your hours of service. Just put in the notes what you're doing and keep driving. Do what you have to do. All right, we're getting toward the top of the hour. We'll wrap things up here in a minute. If you have any more questions, 917-889-9924, and we will get to the questions on the phone lines. We have a lot of people streaming on Facebook. It looks like we have quite a few streaming on TuneIn Radio, LNJ Radio. But I need you guys to call the phone number, 917-889-9924, if you have any questions. All right. One last thing that we'll talk about. And Tommy brought up a good point. Don't try to do any hours of service exemptions if you're a company driver. Be sure to check with your company beforehand, which is a good idea. And that's a company policy. You won't be violated on the federal level. If you get pulled in for an inspection in one of these areas, you may not have anything to explain. But if your company doesn't allow it, it's ultimately their final decision. So your company needs to approve that first. The log department at some of these big fleets probably doesn't want to deal with the difficulties. And I will say that some of the big fleets may have the mindset, and I completely understand this, that if you drive beyond your hours of service because they're exempt, and then you drive into another area and you're in an accident of some sort, their legal defense is out the window. If you drove 24 hours a day, you could technically be legal because the hours of service were suspended. But if that was to happen, if you were in an accident, the legal defense is gone. You're going to jail. So keep that in mind. Be very careful with how you use these exemptions. I want to talk about a couple of the things I mentioned, having the tools and things on hand, having gasoline, generators ready to go, fill up your tank on your car and your truck. If you're going into these areas, or if you're in these areas and you think you might need to evacuate, keep the tanks full, keep gas cans and things on hand, or diesel cans, whatever you need, keep fuel on hand, food, water, keep that on hand. But also, I want to talk about a few other things. There are plenty of apps available. The Weather Channel has an app. Gas Buddy is a good one that I found useful over the past few days. Gas Buddy. Gas Buddy can tell you what gas stations are open. I believe it will also tell you what gas stations, what the prices are throughout the rest of the year. So it's handy to have that app. And in a time like this, it can tell you where you can still find gas. See, the Weather Channel, Gas Buddy, things like TuneIn Radio are a good thing to have. YouTube, I was traveling, I was able to keep an eye on all the weather. Most of the major networks, CNN, Fox, the Weather Channel, all these had their current updates on where the storm was, where the danger areas were, the tornado areas, the heavy rain areas, and all that stuff at all times. And all of those, you could watch it on YouTube. You could see the radar. You could see all that stuff. In addition to things like the Weather Channel apps and all the various other apps, there are a lot of paid-for apps out there as well, but there's plenty of free apps. Also, the having a radio on hand, such as CB radio in your truck. I hate my CB. I never turn it on. I got to be honest with you. There's been times I keep it on my dash because I have a mount for it on the dash and I couldn't stand to have an empty mount there, so I keep it there, but I don't remember the last time I turned it on until this week with the storm, because I was able to listen to what the weather conditions were, what the load conditions were, and I some CDs have the weather stations, the NOAA weather stations built in. A CD like that could be extremely handy. Having a radio, even your AM/FM radio, a lot of those have the weather stations built in. Having an AM/FM radio in the truck or even a mobile radio can be extremely important. And keep in mind that the power may go out. So if you're at home, having a battery-operated radio could be important, or even battery-operated manually charging radio. I've seen types that have cranks and things where you can charge them on the fly. We're at the top of the hour. I did get a few more questions come in. I'm going to go ahead and take these questions quick, and then we're going to wrap things up. We're going to go to caller in the 417 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Great. How can I help you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Arkansas. I have a question about the hours of service rules. Is the exemption only for relief supply loads, or is it for any loads?
It's for any loads while this emergency relief is underway. And the reason is it also helps relieve traffic. There's also parking issues, and there's all types of issues. So right now it's for any supplies in the state of Florida. There may be some other states, surrounding states. I know Texas had also suspended them during and after the storm that hit in Houston. I don't know if they're still suspended there. I do know that the fuel hours of service are suspended in 26 states last I checked. So you need to keep an eye on what states the hours of service are or if they've been suspended. A lot of states have declared a state of emergency still. Florida's still under a state of emergency as we go into the cleanup efforts. But no, currently, because of getting fuel, getting the parking issues, and even if it's not a FEMA emergency load, a lot of food stuff is coming into the state that we need. Other supplies that are done by private organizations are coming in that wouldn't technically be classified as a relief load, but they're still exempt. So everything currently is exempt.
Okay. Well, I was mainly thinking of Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas. Is there a, can you go to the FEMA website, FMCSA website, what website to see which states are still exempt?
Okay. The best way to do that is actually to go to the individual state websites, and you can just Google hours of service for that particular state, and they will give you that exemption because they change. Those are exempted by the governor, and each governor of each state is the one that's exempting them. They're not exempt by FMCSA. It's the governor of that state.
Okay.
So to Google, and I don't have the specifics for each state, or I'd go over it with you. I know that, again, there are 26 states, last I checked, that are only for trucks hauling fuel. So those, and that type of supply. Florida right now, all the hours of service are exempt. And I don't know, I know for a while Texas was as well, but I don't know if they're still exempt for everything, and I don't know about the surrounding states.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim. And also, just want to remind you that if you do go into one of these states that have the hours of service waived, once you leave that state, it's no longer waived, and the state that you go into will add everything up as if you were never in that state. So if you were to drive currently Orlando to Miami, and you did that 36 hours straight, technically, because the hours of service are waived, you would not get a ticket. And Tim is saying Georgia is also exempt. I know Georgia declared a state of emergency as the storm passed through as well. So Georgia is also exempt. But if you were to drive through these states, you cross the state line into the next state, and that happens to have a scalehouse open. If they look and see that over the past 7 days, you worked over your 70 hours, or you worked, you know, you didn't take your 10-hour breaks or your 34-hour breaks and all that stuff as you're supposed to, you'll still be in violation. They're only exempt in that state. So make sure that if you cross into a state where it's not exempt, that you're still compliant with the hours of service the way they're supposed to. All right, we're going to go to Tom in Louisiana, and we'll wrap things up with Tom. Tom, welcome to the show. And, hey, this software is killing me.
How's it going? How's it going there, Kenny?
It's going. First, introduce yourself, because this is the first time you've been on my show. So tell everybody who you are and what you're doing here.
All right, well, I just wanted to basically ask you about the shipping yards, for one, because I know right now, I know a lot of the shipping yards, of course, you know, around Jacksonville, Miami, and Tampa, you got a lot of the ports that are down, and what are they going to be doing with, one, only not only the hours of service, but pretty much, well, how long do you see those shipping yards to get back up in operation?
Well, I know they're scrambling to get those up and running as fast as absolutely possible because they need supplies out of there. They need to be able to get these ships in and out as fast as possible. Right now, they're dealing with flooding issues, and a lot of the containers that fell and you know, when you stack containers 5-10 high, like they do in these ports, and they, you know, there's wind to them, they topple like dominoes. So they're trying to get all that stuff cleaned up. The flooding, of course, on all the port areas. And we're good with the lights, Elizabeth. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll be wrapping things up here in a minute. But she's bringing out stage lighting for me. But they're going to try to get them up and running as fast as possible. I believe they are already starting to ship in and out of the ports as they're bringing these, you know, getting these containers back stacked up the way they're supposed to be. They're already loading trucks. That they are definitely running into issues logistically on getting stuff moved around the way they used to. They're not efficient yet, but they should be up and running, I'd imagine, by the end of the week, because these shipping yards, they move a lot of freight, and they're able to handle this stuff. The biggest problem right now is working with the, you know, down power lines and flooding and things like that. It's really out of their control. They're just kind of waiting on the power companies to get that back in. And we've got, you know, the power companies have, Florida Power and Light has brought in crews from literally around the country. Saw some coming in from Louisiana. When you mentioned that, I saw some coming in from as far north as Illinois, Pennsylvania. Here in North Carolina, we passed a whole convoy all the way this far north going south into the areas that needed it. And they're bringing in all hands on deck right now to get this stuff up and running. I will say that the state of Florida did a fantastic job Governor Scott did great getting everybody, you know, the information they needed. The media, I think they overhyped things a bit because, you know, I thought it was funny to see the guys in the Weather Channel, you know, standing with their legs spread like they're fighting the wind, you know, like hard to stand up, and they're in waist-deep water, and they've got their raincoats and hard hats on. And then as the report wraps up, they step out of the ditch and they unzip their jacket, and it's not even windy, you know. So they really hyped it up and made it look bad. But I understand what they were doing. They were trying to give people the idea of how bad it could be. And so but that worked out well because people did evacuate. People were out of the area. A lot of people left when they should have. The only downside to that was there were some people that left areas into other dangerous areas. A lot of people evacuated Miami, went to Naples, to thinking that they could get far enough away from the storm, and then the storm shifted track and made landfall at Naples. So, fortunately, it was really just the storm surge and things like that that hit the ports that affected them most, and I think that should get wrapped up pretty quick.
Right. Now, if I know for just a little bit of good news for all the listeners and stuff like that, I do know the Coast Guard. The fuel status, of course, we all know the gas stations are running out, but I do know the fuel service, the Coast Guard with all the fuel ships that are out there in the Gulf and the Atlantic side, the Coast Guards are actually working them into the ports to basically get that off-handed. I believe the governor is also having the Florida Highway Patrol actually convoy some of these fuel trucks in to the gas stations to actually get to these gas stations so people can get fuel.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the ports and the relief there, but also these ports, as bad as Florida got hit, the islands got hit really, really bad. So Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands are, you know, those are U.S. territories. So, of course, those are top of the list for us. But all of the Caribbean islands got hammered hard, and they need our help.
Yep.
So all of the cruise lines, I read reports, Caribbean cruise lines, Norwegian cruise lines, and I don't even know them all. I know that I read that they're all loading up their cruise ships with food and relief supplies, and they're taking it to the islands for two reasons. One, they're going to offload the needed supplies at the islands. They're also going to allow the refugees now, because their houses were, it looked like bombs went off from these places. They're, I mean, those islands were leveled. And so they're going to allow the refugees to live on the ships while they start to rebuild.
Right.
Now, the ports are also redirecting their resources to the islands right now.
Right. Yeah, it's bad all over, you know. But just, you know, like you said, you said it perfectly. You know, just everybody needs to be safe and keep a level head and not get in a hurry, really.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to take a long time to bounce back from this. This was Florida hasn't seen a storm this bad. And fortunately, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But it hasn't been this bad since 2004. You know, Hurricane Charlie, 2005, I guess Hurricane Wilma was pretty nasty, but there was nothing on this level since 2004, and really, since Hurricane Donna, which was almost 60 years ago, that it was this much damage to the inland areas, and, you know, we just don't see it. It had been, you know, I mentioned earlier, the woman that I talked to that grew up, she was born in Key West. Her house that she grew up in was completely demolished. Now, Key West, the Keys, the Florida Keys, experience every hurricane that passes through. They haven't had a Category 4 hurricane in over 40 years. They actually made landfall in the Keys, and they see all of them. So this was bad. A lot of people want to say that, you know, it was, you know, a lot of people overreacted and things like that, but this was a bad storm as it was. Could have been much, much worse, so we got fortunate.
Oh, yeah. Florida's definitely got much worse. I know I'm originally from Florida, so I know I've lived there most of my 42 years of living there, and, yeah, I've been through a lot of storms, and luckily we were in Louisiana at the time it hit, but right now we're actually getting some rain. We're getting all the rain and everything else of that hurricane right now is here in Louisiana, so that just shows you how big this storm was.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, fortunately, it died off quick. I mean, it came over land and lost a lot of energy. But, you know, if it would have went further north, like they had projected, if it would have came ashore near Tampa, which is almost 150 miles north of where it actually did make landfall, 150 miles in that hot Gulf water, it would have put, I mean, those of you that don't understand how hurricanes work, it draws its energy from the warm water. That's why they lose the energy once they get over land. If it would have stayed in that for several more hours, almost 8 to 10 more hours over that, it may have been a strong Category 4, even a Category 5. If it would have came ashore in Tampa, like they had originally projected, it would have been a Category 2 or 3, even by the time it got to Atlanta. I mean, and it, the first time ever in history, Atlanta was under a tropical storm warning. That's never happened before. This hurricane was the worst on record in a lot of ways. And I believe this evacuation was the largest evacuation of an area in history. The entire state, everybody that was capable, evacuated. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. I've not, you know, it was, I watched, you know, and I'll wrap things up with this little story here. I watched The Walking Dead. And if this, you know, these guys are, you know, it's the apocalypse. And they're walking through and they see these signs about, you know, take refuge here and you'll be safe in this area. They just saw signs like that. You know, churches are, you know, come here, you'll be safe here, or free food, or seek shelter here. It was like an apocalyptic type event. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it. And, I mean, it was, you know, it changed the way people think about, you know, how to cooperate, how to evacuate, how to handle these types of situations. This was a game changer in a lot of ways.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like I said, I think Florida did a really good job. The governor did a real good job of getting the word out. And like you said, the media really kind of blew it up a little bit. But at the same time, I'm glad to see a lot of people actually taking the warnings seriously and leaving. Because it could have been, you know, like we all say, it could be a lot, could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, we got lucky. There was still a lot. We still have, I mean, there are places, I mean, it's really sad to see it. I mean, there are places that have just been wiped off the map. You know, I mean, it's bad. And, you know, the flooding that's still happening, you know, all over the state, even up into Georgia and South Carolina, got some pretty nasty effects of it. Even all the way up here in Asheville, North Carolina, all the way up here, there are trees, I mean, that, you know, that are 2 feet around in diameter. I mean, big, huge oak trees that have been here for years, you know, decades, torn down by the storm, and they're this far away from the Gulf. And those were some things passed through just yesterday. So, yeah, we were fortunate. We were fortunate that it wasn't worse. And even though it was bad, there's no way to underestimate how bad it was. So anyway, that being said, I think it's time to wrap things up, Tom. But
like I said, I just appreciate you taking my call, and yeah, sure. I can't wait until next week.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep working on getting these bugs worked out. Finally, I'm up on all my platforms here. At least I really get that going. At least it took a little longer than I expected, but I've got some software glitches. For some reason, everything's not working together. But I want to plug this one last time. I am streaming live on Blog Talk Radio, so I can take your phone calls. I am streaming live on Facebook, and I'm going to play with that. We might switch over to YouTube here in the future. It might be a better platform. I'm also streaming live, and this is the exciting part and the thing that I'm most excited about, is we are live on LNJ Radio. And that is Tom Eagle, is on the phone with us now. He is the one that brought me in to LNJ Radio. LNJ Radio, Liberty and Justice Radio, and anybody that has followed me for any length of time knows that, you know, I'm very patriotic. The name of my trucking company is Patriot Star. You know, so I fit right in with anything with Liberty and Justice. You know, the LNJ logo that's red, white, and blue. I mean, I love that. So I'm excited to be over here. I wish I wasn't having all these technical difficulties getting it up and running every week, but as we go forward, I'll get everything worked out. We're going to be playing music over here. We've got the commercials and things, and you know, we're going to make this something special as we grow. And we may add more than just one day a week too. I've been thinking about that, and I'll talk to you about that too, Tom. So, but I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be on the air over here. And you know, I'd like to be able to reach as many people as possible.
Hey, it's an honor for actually us, for you even decided to come over here. You know, we are, you know, we just go with the professionalism, and you know, you're an upstanding guy. Your information is spot on. If you don't know the information, you research it and research it and research it until you're knowledgeable at it. So, you know, that it just makes a really great fit, and that's what I like about, you know, how you do things, and it just, like you said, it makes a really good fit for not only me but for you as well.
Awesome, and I'm thrilled to be here. So that said, I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks for joining us, Tom, and thank all of you that have been listening. I know most of you followed me and found us here through Facebook, so you're probably already a member of the Facebook group, Trucking with Authority. If you're not, if you've found us any other way, join the Facebook group, Trucking with Authority. You'll be getting all the notifications and when the show will go live and all the upcoming events and upcoming shows and everything else. So Trucking with Authority is the place to find us. That said, thank you all. Have a great night. Remember that you need to aim high, dream big, strategize your plan, earn your success, because only you drive you. Have a good night, everybody.